All right, welcome back. Hour number four of the Drive. Lever Sage, Chris Stevenson here at TD Place. Just an hour away from First Choice Haircutters. Countdown to kickoff. We will begin Need to Know right there. Red, Blacks, and the Argos, 7:30 here on TSN 1200, the first preseason game of the year. The regular season begins in 2 weeks. It is glorious down here right now at TD Place. Hopefully it stays that way. But football is here. The players are getting warmed up. And we can't wait for a great night of football here on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Jeff Avery with the call at 7:30. The Colorado Avalanche will look to put away the St. Louis Blues tonight. Coming up at 8 o'clock, can St. Louis force a Game 7? That is one of the big questions. Can the Miami Heat force a Game 7? They're going to have to win in Boston against the Celtics, or else the Celtics will be off to the NBA final. The Jays are in Los Angeles to take on the Angels after beating them last night. So a lot going on tonight on a Friday night. Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, will join us at 5:30. So we'll have to get out and make sure that there is lots of time for the commissioner. He has to be excited that everything seems to be done. And we are having a football game tonight. And Chris Stevenson, it's always great to be with you on a Friday with no Yacht Rock sailing into the weekend. Don't shake your head. No, there's no reason for that. Because, Chris, this should get you excited. The lineup tonight. Myself, Dave Naylor.
Love Dave.
Yeah. How can you not? Ottawa Roots was here.
Yeah.
For a very long time. Talked to him earlier today, and he's like, every time I come back to Ottawa, I realize how old I am, because it's mostly the same guys that are around just years later and have been in the business now 31 years. So he can't wait to be our CFL TSN insider this year. We'll kick off the show with that, countdown to kickoff. And then James Duke Ellingson is fired up. I could talk to him about the receivers all day long, being a receiver himself. But he's back and ready to go, and we know AJ Jakubek and Jeff Avery are here. So a lot to get to, right? Oh, except who's going to be on the sidelines? We always have a sideline reporter, right? Somebody down there giving us insight from the sidelines and making sure that we know what is happening.
Yes, a feel for what is going on down in the trenches.
Right. And for that, we had to comb the edges of the earth. We had to go far and wide to find ourselves somebody that would be capable of handling that situation. So you know what we did? We just called the guy that used to do it. Steve Bunda. Steven! How are you?
Well, it's that's a good question to ask. It's great to be back and walking through the stadium and ready for another football season. I think Lee is the biggest thing, and to see you, to see the bearded wonder, Chris Stevenson, it's awesome. It's awesome.
You're here. You got your TSN 1200 shirt on. It's like you never left.
It's like I never left. It's been a whirlwind for the last couple months, and now I'm I got the call from the spotter tonight.
Yep.
JR.
Yeah. Can we just call him the spotter from now on?
I think only in this situation when he's on the grounds of TD Place, right? That's allowed.
But I might take that a little further, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how far it gets all of us if we do. But he gave me the call and asked if I had interest, and it was kind of one of those things where I never hesitated. And he said, you know, it's a preseason game on Friday. If you're busy and you can't make it, I understand, but we'd like to have you. And like I said, it was I didn't even hesitate to get here.
It's your spot.
Yeah, I share it with one Matt Schinetti usually. So he usually, that's his spot. So I just
on TV, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're on the radio. You're boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And you're one of those guys that, I mean, we don't have to explain to people, but you're down. You know all these guys. You have to get to know a lot of new guys.
I was going
to
say, don't go too far.
You know some of the guys, but you're going to have to get to know a lot of these guys here because it's a brand new team, especially on offense. It's got to be exciting for you to get down and talk to the Jeremiah Masolis of the world, talk to the Acklins and the you know, Darvin Adams, he's not playing tonight, but there's so many different facets. The offensive line's completely different. Five new guys playing tonight that weren't here last year. It's incredible.
It really is exciting because it does feel like 2015 all over again, does it not? When you look at 2014 was that inaugural season, but it was more 2015 when they brought the kind of star power, the talent in. And now it's like they redid that after, you know, and nothing against, like you said, I don't know a lot of these guys. I can recognize some names, but you look at all the starting receivers. You know, I know Ryan Davis a little bit from last year, but I like even last year with the COVID, I wasn't around the team as much as I was. So, like you said, the whole offensive line, you know, Jeremiah Masoli, you know, I recognize him from the black and gold, but it's going to be interesting to see him here tonight in a Red Blacks uniform. The defense is, you know, somewhat similar, but a couple guys are very new. So I'm excited to just see, you know, this is the early game, but, you know, how the season goes in general. It just has that kind of excitement right away.
We didn't really touch on the offensive line, which was really one of the, you know, most contentious parts of last season, because it didn't really put the quarterbacks in a position where they could kind of be fairly evaluated, right? Running for your life is no way to kind of prove what you can do. You can prove that you can run for your life, but that's about it. So how big is that going to be this year to see how that offensive line unit comes together?
Well, I think it's chemistry, but it's also going to be, you know, all of these guys in new positions, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, they're all brought in here to a new team, and how quickly can you build that chemistry again? Because that's one thing, you go back to even 2015, you know, they every offensive lineman, I think they stayed and they played every single game up into the Grey Cup.
Isn't that amazing? They had the same five-man unit the entire season.
And it's the exact opposite last year.
They couldn't get two games consecutive that had the same offensive line.
So then coming into this year, like, new quarterback and a whole new offensive line, like you said, you kind of can't waste any time trying to get your starters to kind of build that, you know, chemistry and camaraderie, right? Somebody has to be a new tone setter up there. We've seen guys like John Gott throughout the years, but Nolan McMillan, right? He's pretty much been a day one guy at that right guard position here. And he was a guy that if there was someone pushing around, he would get in the middle of it and set the tone and let everybody know on that offensive line, you're not pushing us around. And on the defensive line, he'd be the first one in there pushing those guys back, letting them know we're getting that extra yard. So it's going to be interesting to see who is the guy that kind of steps in as a leader and sets a tone on that offensive line.
Yeah, it's a great point, because it's just the one thing that I'm excited, though, about the offensive line and thinking that it'll have a little bit of chemistry is Darius Siraco is the same center that Jeremiah Masoli worked with in Hamilton. And to bring over that battery of the center and the quarterback, Steve, you know how important that is in just being able to not only get the ball snap, but to be able to call out some of the protections to the other guys and have a veteran that knows exactly what they're doing. I think that is going to be one of the more underrated things that Sean Burke has done that will not be talked about right away, but that will make a big difference in everything, Chris, that you just said, in getting the ball out and making sure that guys have the chance to perform.
Yeah, the trust factor is there, right? When you have a center that you're familiar with. But, you know, we used to see Henry Burris, right? He used to walk around. He was never wearing a number one jersey when he wasn't playing. He had a John Gott. He had a Sir Vincent Rogers. He always showed the respect to the offensive line.
Right.
And that's the kind of quarterbacking guy he was. And I know he's a different breed of a quarterback because of, you know, Smiling Hank. He was that guy that just always made sure he showed so much love. But now having your center back and the familiarity, you know, you're going to hope that he's the guy that's that leader on the offensive line that sets the tone, like I said, but also can just help teach the other guys about Jeremiah Masoli, because that's, you know, Jeremiah Masoli is a guy that if he needs to leave the pocket, he can leave the pocket. But that's a different kind of thing to, you know, help your other offensive linemen out to recognize that this is the way he moves. And, you know, I heard you guys talking to Brad Sinopoli, another big thing, hash marks. How's Louis Ward going to be tonight? Oh, Louis Ward, like, it's different.
And you know what? I'm so happy you brought that up. Just from the kicking game, I hate when guys are at the 10-yard line and they're kicking these field goals that it's almost like it has to slice left by, you know, 35 yards or else it's not going to go in. They fix that.
It's like trying to shoot the puck in from the goal line, just outside the goal line in hockey.
It always
was
just
so angle to get it through.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that. That's going to be a big benefit for the kickers, because they're going to be much more straight on in situations now than they had to be before. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the most accurate kickers ever in the CFL now gets it narrowed in even more for him to be more accurate.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be an adjustment for everybody. And I think that's, you know, it's just the excitement of having all these new players come. And Steve, being on the sidelines and knowing that you've been in the room and knowing how important that is, it feels like a new lease on life for this team. But there's also going to be a little bit of pressure for those guys to come together, and how difficult that will be without hardly a training camp at all. They get a preseason.
Almost didn't have a season, right? Yeah. It came down to the wire.
Yeah, and you get a couple of preseason games. But the regular season starts 2 weeks tonight in Winnipeg against the two-time defending Grey Cup champions. Like, that is not easy to bring a group together to be able to do that. So, you know, some of the things that you'll be looking for and talking to, I'm sure, watching these guys communicate a great deal tonight about what is expected.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm very curious because last year, like I said, I was not allowed in the locker room, so I didn't get to get a real feel for that team environment. I'm allowed, you know, back in the locker room tonight. So it's going to be curious to see, you know, who's sitting next to who, you know, who's talking to who, you know, seeing the team camaraderie, like you said, like it really is basically a brand new team. So it's exciting for that, but also just being on the sidelines, seeing who's talking to who. There's so many of these new American players that come up every year in these preseason games. You know, a lot of them eventually get shifted to practice squads, and a lot of them get cut and brought back. And there's so many, you know, so much that goes on in the CFL, but to see, you know, who's going to be around and who's teaching a lot of these guys? Like, where are these veterans? Like, the Jalen Acklins, like you brought up, he's going to have to help mentor some of these kids that are, you know, just learning the game. And for him, we've already, like, the hash marks, like Jalen Acklins played in the CFL for a good couple of years now, but he hasn't played with a new hash mark. So there's a lot of, I'm going to be excited to see teaching. Like, who's going to be down there? Who's teaching? Who are the guys that are the leaders on the sidelines? Right, Avery Williams is back, and he's been a, you know, their leader for a good couple of years now. But you know, how much is he helping out a lot of these guys? Because there's so many guys dressing tonight, and I think that's the other thing you bring up, Lee, is they're, you know, the home opener is 2 weeks from today, and
the season opener.
Yeah, sorry, season opener.
Home opener 3 weeks.
But you know, how many of these guys are going to be next week, right? So a lot of the starters we're going to see aren't going to be starting next week, because a lot of them have to be here to see who are practice squad guys, who are guys that are the dark horses to make the team. So it's going to be a lot. So tonight is a huge game, because you might not see a lot of these guys next week.
That's it. I mean, to be able to get your time in one game and then get some practices in and let the Ottawa Redblacks and Paul Lapolis and the rest of the coaching staff figure out who the rest of the team is, and then all of a sudden, it's into Winnipeg in 2 weeks, back home to face the Blue Bombers the following week, and it's a tough start. And the schedule doesn't get very easy, because we have no idea, Chris, you brought this up earlier, and Steve will kind of finish with this, just that, I mean, the East could be, I have no idea. Hamilton will probably be good. I'm assuming Montreal is going to be pretty good. And then Toronto, like, won the conference last year, the East Division. And even though they lost to Hamilton, they were the best team in the East. And I think they could be the best. They could be the worst. I have no idea where the Argos are. So for Ottawa, they're just in this group of, I think, Steve, four pretty good teams.
Which I think really adds that much more excitement, because we all know in the CFL, right, you can go from worst to first in just like just a snap of your fingers. And the amount of new players that were brought in, how quickly can they gel and how quickly can they find success? I heard you guys talking to Brad Sinopoli. How quickly can this team bounce back from a terrible loss? How quickly can they, you know, duplicate a huge win? Like, there's so many questions. And not only that, like you said, with the East being such a – I think it's a CFL, right? I don't know why, but this kind of feels like there was just that much more extra turnover around the CFL this year. And I'm excited to see, you know, the West as much as the East, but Ottawa, right, being in the East, we're so focused on them. How is the rest of the league, right? No more Mike Riley, right? There's, you know, different kind of teams and quarterbacks in here. It's exciting.
That BC situation with two Canadian quarterbacks.
It's like, old pal Rick Campbell.
I don't know how it's going to go. I don't feel like it's going to go great, but I hope it does.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an incredible thing for the CFL to have a team that's got two Canadian quarterbacks that are thriving and doing well. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Like
It's difficult to do because...
I know, your pessimism for everyone, not yours, but everyone's, is like, yeah, it's probably not going to work. But what if it does?
Like, I go back to Jerry Dettilio was like the regular Canadian quarterback in Montreal for a while.
100% Steve does not know who that is.
I was not a chance. Not a chance.
100%.
To my point, it does not happen. Like, to think about there being two.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And what if they do well?
Yeah.
Could this ever start a trend? All right. Steve Bund is going to be on our sidelines and on the broadcast. We're thrilled to have you back. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's great to see you. And I think for a lot of people listening, it's great to hear you.
Yeah.
Well, and thanks for having me on. You called me a special guest, so I wasn't sure if you were talking about me when I walked in the room.
First and only time.
Yeah.
I'll call you that.
Yeah. And I'd also like to point out, CJ, when he said, what a lineup tonight, and he said, myself first.
Yeah. Well...
What a lineup, Lee.
I didn't even really think about that because that's just Lee.
He's bringing it.
Lee being Lee.
Duke was second. Dave Naylor was third.
Well, if we want to break things down tonight, starting at 2 o'clock and going until midnight, who people are going to hear the most, it's Lee SN 1200 today, really. I mean, AJ and Avery and Stevenson and Ellingson and Bund are getting in the way a little bit.
Yeah. And meanwhile, CJ's got a CJ 1200 hat on. So
I know. Yeah. I was going to say that, too. Like, he's calling me. You guys are calling me out with CJ 1200.
I need one of those. Need one of
I
those.
Wish we could
even.
One,
there could be one in your future, my friend.
I wish we could even say what's on the back of the hat, but I'm not sure we're allowed on.
Own the crappiness.
Own the crappiness. No. It doesn't say crappy.
I was going to say, I think I can read well. But
yeah, it doesn't say crappy, but I think people get the point. A great line by Mr. Smart, our regular Wednesday contributor, who was on yesterday and was in fine form, by the way.
Always right.
Yeah, he always is. But it got a little bogged down because, you know, in radio, and we're taking people behind the scenes here, and we got to get out because Randy Ambrosi is going to join us in 10 minutes.
I thought that was your special guest.
No, I said Randy Ambrosi and a special guest.
You going to hit him with some hard ones?
What hard ones? Hey, Randy, glad you're playing. Kamish, we're glad you're on the field.
How come you couldn't have done this sooner?
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think we're going to hit him with hard questions. But I think everyone's just happy that it's back.
Yeah.
Right?
What a weird week for the CFL.
Yeah. It is a weird week. No question. Great to have you back, Steve. And we'll be listening for you tonight on the sidelines during the broadcast.
Can't wait. And thanks for having me on, guys.
Lee SN 1200. Remember that. CJ 1200. He's got his own hat already.
Here comes Lee's line now, competing with CJ.
Yeah.
See the numbers on the sales.
Yeah. So far, he's winning. great to see you, Steve. We'll be listening for you tonight. Coming up next will be the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, joins us next on The Drive on TSN 1200. We welcome you back to TD Place. Weaver Sage, Chris Stevenson here with you last half hour of The Drive before we get to First Choice Haircutters. Countdown to kickoff at 6. Can't wait. Dave Naylor is ready to go. James Duke Ellingson ready to go. And I can tell you that AJ Jakubek and Jeff Avery are ready to go to call tonight's game. The Red Blacks and the Toronto Argonauts. It's a beautiful night right now at TD Place. And right now we are joined on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline by the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, joining the program. Commissioner, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to be with you tonight. Looking forward to kickoff in what, just about an hour and 59 minutes.
See, that is exact right there, an hour and 59 minutes. We can't wait for it either. It's been such a long time in coming. Just, you know, first of all, how arduous has it been here over the last couple of weeks and with everything that has gone on behind the scenes to have this game actually be played?
Well, I think it's exciting. Look, you know, bargaining is bargaining, and it is a hard process, but I think you got to start by congratulating both sides, the Player Association and their bargaining unit, the CFL and its bargaining unit. I think they did exactly what we hoped they would. We wanted to build the framework for a long-term partnership with our players. You know, it was a little tough there towards the end, but I think they delivered a magnificent framework. And now, instead of sitting across from the table with the players and the league can sit side by side, and we can focus on growing the game. So, hey, a little messy around the edges, but in the end, we got a great outcome, and now we get to play football.
Randy, what makes this a partnership?
Well, I think there's several things. One is the revenue sharing feature. That aligns our interests. So now, you know, we both want the same thing. And I think that was an important priority for us, that we felt that was something that was going to help us. We've actually invited the Player Association to sit on the board of our CFL Ventures business, which is the one that we have with Genius Sports. And I think that's, again, an acknowledgement that the players need to be part of our future, and we have to include them in our business. And then I think just the mindset of this collective bargaining exercise was about changing our relationship from a more transactional one, which I think has been largely our history, to one that it's really about working together and growing a business as partners. And so, again, kind of everywhere I look in this collective bargaining outcome, I think we see a partnership developing.
What are the areas that you attack in terms of growing the business? I mean, you're under a little bit of an assault now with these other leagues popping up in the States again, and the CFL's managed to ward those off in the past. But you know, where are the areas that you guys can grow this game with the players?
Yeah, look, I think one of our big priorities was to really focus on what we learned from our consumer research, and that is that the next generation of fans are really interested in competition and excellence in sports. And so, you know, our biggest priority was to make sure we give the coaches some flexibility in our rosters to make sure that we get great players on the field. And we're really excited about that. You know, we are going to immediately start talking to the players about how we work together, you know, in our communities, how to market our game. But one thing you'll hear over and over again is we are going to emphasize that we've got world-class athletes that are playing in our league now. Frankly, world-class athletes have played in our league for decades, and we're going to focus on those things that will attract that next generation of CFL fans, and we're going to do that in all nine CFL markets.
CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi joining us here on The Drive. And what is so important to everybody who is a fan of this game are the Canadians and those who play the game in this country that participate in the league. Can you tell us about how difficult this was to come to a compromise and exactly kind of what the compromise is for the 7 years? Because it was something that, you know, a lot of people focused their attention on during these negotiations.
Yeah, look, I think you almost have to start with what was the mindset going in. And, you know, first of all, we were thrilled to protect the 21 jobs on all nine CFL teams. We thought that was critically important. You know, frankly, nobody is saying that that our Canadians can't play, but what we are saying is that Canadians can compete. And I think we ended up with a really good outcome. You know, what our coaches told us, you know, in preparation for the bargaining is, oftentimes we get into trouble, not when we've got our core group of starters. We get into trouble when we start getting into injuries, and we sometimes don't have as much depth as we need. You know, we've lost 24, this past year, we lost 24 Canadians to NFL rosters. That's the most in NFL history. We know that the quality of Canadian athletes are really high, but that's a lot of Canadians who, you know, frankly, in past decades would have played in the CFL are now on NFL rosters, and that's put some stress and pressure. So, you know, in the end, we worked out an arrangement that I think is going to be good for everybody. I know the Canadian athletes that can compete. My own history in the league, playing with guys like Rod Conop and Pierre Bershebel and Dan Ferroni, and I could just keep going on and on, all the names of guys that I played with and through the ages, you know, we know great players that played in Ottawa and you know, Russ Jackson. I mean, that's the penultimate name, but we know Canadians are excellent athletes. We know Canadians are excellent football players, and that we're going to give them a chance to compete and shine as they have competed and been stars on our league going back. So, I think we came to a good outcome and really looking forward to the future together.
And just to follow up on that, can you tell us how difficult it is? Because we love Canadians playing in the game, and we associate with them with the particular teams. But sometimes, as you said, with the depth that was there, you had Canadians that were backups making, you know, double or triple what guys coming up from the U.S. were making, that were, you know, having valuable input into their team and being such valuable members of the team, making a lot less than those backup Canadians. How did that ultimately come to a compromise? Because I think a lot of people tried to understand both sides of that issue.
Yeah, and again, that's where you have to give credit to both bargaining committees. You know, look at what we did. This idea of nationalized Canadians is so important. It actually goes well back into our history. Ron Lancaster and Angela Mosca, two of the greatest names in CFL history, both played as nationalized Canadians. And what we wanted to do is give our American players an opportunity to reward them for, you know, coming into our league, coming into our community, staying in our CFL cities, raising their families in many cases. And we think that was an excellent way of kind of leveling the playing field, and it also provides an incentive for roster continuity. And boy, we've heard that from our fans over and over again. Fans want to see our rosters more stable. So look, we're really excited about the next generation of football players, the ones we have now and the ones that will come in the future, both, you know, whether they be Canadians, which we know will have lots of stars, Americans will have lots of stars, and our global project, we believe over time are going to develop a lot of stars as well. But in my view, from a talent point of view, the future's never been brighter for the CFL.
How important was that idea of coming to a compromise that you could have more roster stability? I completely agree that's been an issue with the you know, so many 1-year contracts, guys constantly coming and going. Fans want to have guys that they can identify with, guys who can put down roots in their community and become parts of those communities. You know, I'm a north of 60 years old guy, so I can remember, you know, growing up when players would be in town all year long and they would have off-season jobs. They really became a part of the community, and people were proud to go and watch a player who might have been a neighbor play in the Canadian Football League. How important is it to kind of get back to that continuity, as you mentioned, and just that roster stability where guys can put roots down in a community?
Yeah, and again, I point to the both sides that we're bargaining, the CFLPA's bargaining unit and the CFL's bargaining unit. They did a great job, and you know, now we've got guaranteed contracts for a veteran player who's now through their first contract. For their second contract, they've got some guaranteed money that they'll get in their second contract. I think that's going to be really great. That's going to help us to help teams re-sign some of their biggest stars. That's going to do exactly what you just described. That's going to get us back to where we used to be, where we had a lot of roster continuity, you know, players that came and stayed and played. I mean, I grew up in Winnipeg with Kenny Plain as an example, and when Mr. Plain was a star in Winnipeg, and then he went on to raise his family, and he was frankly a legend in Winnipeg, not just as a football player, but as somebody who was in the community. So when you start adding up all these pieces, now you've got this nationalized American concept, which rewards the players and gives them an opportunity to stay with their teams longer. You now got the guaranteed contract opportunity in the second contract. That's going to give us an opportunity for more roster continuity. Look, everywhere I look in this CBA, I tip my hat to both sides, to the players and to the league bargaining units, for coming up with a way to make sure we could address our biggest priorities, roster continuity and talent, because we know from our market research what the next generation of CFL fans want. They want competition and they want excellence. And I believe both sides have delivered us a framework for a really bright future in the CFL.
We understand, going through labor negotiations, that it always comes down to the last minute. So with that being said, would you do it differently next time, or would you try to do it differently, not getting it this close after really only playing, you know, 14-game season in the last two or three years, it really has been difficult to kind of get the product going. Would you do it a little bit differently?
Well, I think it's always an opportunity to sit back and look at the game film and, you know, and ask those questions, you know, was there something we could have handled differently? And we'll do that. And, you know, we'll do that, and we can talk to the players about that as well and decide together if there was something that we might have done differently. Look, in the end, we got a really good outcome. And, you know, nobody has a phrase goes, nobody wants to see how the sausage gets made. But in the end, when you're sitting there enjoying a good Italian sausage on a nice fresh bun, it tastes pretty good. I think we got to that. I think we got a good outcome, one that we can be proud of, and one that'll, it'll, you know, shaping us up for a much better future. Look, I will say this, it was awfully stressful for everyone who loves the league. It was stressful, but in the end, we came to a good outcome, and I may have aged, you know, a few extra months along the way, but I'm certainly very proud of the players and the Player Association and the league and our bargaining unit. I think we have to tip our hat to them and say they did a great job.
Are we going to see more offense this year?
Well, I tell you, tonight when they kick that ball off at 7:30, I can't wait for about 7:33 when the offense, and I'm, you know, whether it's Ottawa or Toronto, trots onto the field and those narrowed hash marks and that big wide side on the short side of the field and a shorter wide side. Everything, I mean, I've talked to our coaches. I had a chance to talk to Coach Lapolice when I was there 2 weeks ago, and he said, Randy, I think it's going to really improve the game. I feel bad for the Will linebacker tonight, because that Will linebacker has got an awful lot of field on the short side to cover now. I mean, I really, today, if you're looking at a defense, you're really got two Sam linebackers instead of, you know, and they're both going to have essentially the same profile. They're going to have to be great athletes who can cover a lot of ground. I think tonight is the beginning of a whole new chapter in exciting CFL football, and I can't wait to see what these coaches do.
So, yeah, the hash marks are going to be a big deal because they're going to have to be improved offensively and defensively, but most of the other rules that were changed all benefited the offense. And I think looking over the last year or two, Commissioner, that, you know, that was probably necessary, right? People want to come and they want to see a little bit more offense. And it seems like even with some of the subtle rule changes from where the punts go out to the 15-yard no-yard penalties to some of the other things that are going on where the ball is placed after a score, it all benefits the offense.
Well, you know, again, what we heard in our market research was, and really it was exactly the right way to approach this. Instead of you know, thinking about our product through the lens of how we felt, we actually went to, you know, Canadian sports fans and Canadian football fans, and we asked them, and they want fun, fast, and entertaining. I think the changes that were made, and again, a real tip of the hat to our coaches and GMs and presidents, who helped us, Greg Dick and his staff at the CFL, who took us through the product review process. I think it's shaping up. I said simply, look, I want fun. I want to be the funnest, fastest, most entertaining brand of football in the world. And I want every game to be 49-49 with 30 seconds left to go, and then I don't care who wins. I think we have set the table, just as you've just said, I think we've set the table with some really neat rule changes, and one that is going to set us up to get that ball in the air, to get those offenses moving up and down the field. I think it's going to definitely put pressure on the defenses, and there are great defensive coordinators, but they'll figure it out too, and it'll turn out to be a classic CFL battle. But no, I think we're at the beginning of a new beginning for our league, and one that we can all be really proud of.
The defenses were thrilled to hear your 49-49 with 30 seconds to go comment there. But I think we all want a little bit more offense. Last one for you. 7 years is a pretty good time frame to have this negotiation and the deal done. I'm sure you don't want to go through it again anytime soon. It's just important for you to get, you know, a 7-year deal so that we're not doing this every 2 years.
Yeah, it was really important. Look, I think, frankly, we were spending way too much time bargaining with each other instead of spending all of our time figuring out how to grow the business together. And that's what this does now. And, you know, as I said, the features inside of the deal with revenue sharing, as an example, bringing bringing a member of the Player Association onto our CFL Ventures board and other things. I think it sets us up now to think differently about our relationship. It gives us an opportunity to open the doors, to work together instead of sitting across the table, sit on the same side, sit next to each other, maybe have a beer and a hot dog from time to time. But I just couldn't be more excited about the future. And now we get an opportunity to really, really build a better and a more productive relationship with our players. And I think that's going to serve the league really well. And look, all in all, I think it's just that tonight is the beginning of something special. And I'm looking forward to watching the game tonight and all the games this coming CFL season.
Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, we thank you for your time. I look forward to talking to you throughout the season as some of these changes start to take place, but we can't wait for the season to get going as well. So we appreciate your time here this afternoon.
Hey, guys, just a big shout-out to all the Red Black fans. Get to the park tonight. Go and enjoy. I understand you're going to get a beautiful evening there. Get out to the park and enjoy some CFL football. And if you're near that bar rail, maybe you could have a beverage and a hot dog as well.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Take care. Have a great day.
Commissioner Randy Ambrosi on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official home of the Ottawa Senators. And with that, we'll take our last break, come back, and set up the rest of the night and the weekend here on The Drive on TSN 1200. Welcome back to TD Place. Lever Sage, Chris Stevenson with you. One final segment before First Choice Haircutters countdown to kickoff. I can tell you James Duke Ellingson is here early. The legendary Jeff Avery, Chris, has just walked in.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer Jeff Avery looking sharp and ready to go. Only 85 guys to call tonight, and don't worry about that. You got a great spotter, Jeff. Jeff, you got a great spotter tonight. He doesn't know any of the guys yet, but he's fantastic. Chris, should be a fun weekend. Let me just go through here quickly what's going on this weekend. Of course, we have the game tonight here on TSN 1200, and looking forward to all of it. But then tomorrow, we have the U.S.-Finland game at 7, Canada-Czechia at 11, semifinals at the World Hockey Championships. Of course, Thomas Chabot and Drake Batherson and Nick Holden and DJ Smith and company all have been a huge part of Team Canada so far. We'll have the gold medal game Sunday at 1, and if the Miami Heat win Game 6, we will have Game 7 between Boston and Miami on
what a weekend.
On Sunday night. That's just to begin, right? You have the Champions League final happening tomorrow with Liverpool and Real Madrid at 3 o'clock. You got the Blue Jays on the West Coast. So it's a fantastic sporting weekend kicking off with what we're going to be able to witness here tonight.
Oh, and there's that NHL stuff, too, that you might want to tune into.
So will the Colorado Avalanche finish things off tonight?
No.
Wow.
They will not. We are going to be treated to another Game 7.
Okay.
Maybe that's a little bit of wishful thinking on my part, but that's where I'm going.
I'll ask you about Game 6 in New York tomorrow night with the Rangers and the Hurricanes, but since Carolina is 7-0 at home and 0-5 on the road, you're going to tell me they're going to win their first road game of the playoffs tomorrow?
No, they are not.
Okay, so we're in store for two Game 7s.
Oh, please, bring it on. Yes.
I don't think we're going to see a Game 7 in Colorado-St. Louis. I think the Avalanche will understand the lead that they blew and the point that they're at here. If they go to a Game 7, they might be in big trouble. I would worry about the Avalanche if it does go to Game 7 in a big way. So I think the Avalanche finish it off tonight. I have no reason to think the Rangers won't win tomorrow and force a Game 7 with Carolina and the Rangers to see who faces Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, so much to dig into. I'm looking forward to it, and I might, tune into a little bit of golf too.
One thing that you will be watching for the most here tonight. If you're a Red Blacks fan, you're coming to the game, you're listening to the game, you're watching the game, what's the one thing you want to see from this team?
I want to see the offense move the ball up and down the field, and even if it doesn't immediately translate into a lot of points, let's see some imagination, let's see some execution from the offense and see that they can move the ball. And I know it's early. I know there are a lot of new faces. It's a brand new offensive line. But that's probably what I will be tracking the most, is just to see the progress of the offense. You?
Yeah, I said yesterday, and I maintain it. If this is the game we're going to see Jeremiah Masoli play, even if it's a half or three quarters,
yep.
I want to see him walk off the field, and everyone knows this is his team.
Right.
And I don't know what exactly that entails. It doesn't have to be four touchdown passes. It doesn't have to be running for 90 yards. But we haven't had a guy here in Ottawa that's kind of looked like, this is my team as the quarterback for a while.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yep. Yeah, and that kind of goes hand-in-hand with what I want to see, is just that a command of the offense and the ability to move the ball, which we have not seen here for a couple of years.
Sail off into the weekend. Always a pleasure.
We're happy, eh? You managed to skate all the way through this without a single bit of yacht rock.
Although it's kind of in the background of my head the entire show. Christopher Cross and the Doobie Brothers and
Michael McDonald.
Chris, have a great weekend. Always appreciate
you
the
too.
Time when you visit our show.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Red.
Coming up next, First Choice Haircutters. Countdown to kickoff. Dave Naylor, James Duke Ellingson, and then sending it to AJ and Jeff Avery for the call of a football game tonight. Awesome to say. The Red Blacks and the Toronto Argonauts, folks, have yourselves the best weekend possible, and we on The Drive will talk to you on Monday at 2 on TSN 1200.